is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Oh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and raw. Here is Steve Gruber.
And welcome back to it. It is Monday on the Steve Gruber Show. I greatly appreciate your support. The phone number here is 888-900-9966. This part of the program brought to you by Consumers Mutual Insurance, consumersmutual.org, a different kind of insurance company. It's the insurance company I selected for my family. Yeah. In a minute, just wake up. All right, back. Let's quickly to the hotline. Popular place here this morning. Matt is on the line this morning in Okemos. Matt, welcome to the program.
Good morning. I'm really upset about this police officer, not only him, but the ones in New York that were assassinated. This is trickle-down racial rabble-rousing from the president to Eric Holder to our congressmen to our media. And they are trickle-down racism is going on. And this is the effect, the cause and effect of words that he says matter. He's causing this.
Well, you know, I don't know if he's causing it exactly, Matt.
He's putting sticks on the fire. He's not lighting it.
Well, I don't think that's wrong. I think you might be onto something. I mean, because he, you know, Trayvon Martin looks like my son if I had a son, or getting involved with Ferguson and these other incidents. I can't deny the fact that he's complicit.
That's right. He's putting sticks on the fire. He's not lighting it, but they're all building this fire to be lit. And that's what's happening here.
And fair point, Matt. I appreciate you checking in and bringing that to the forefront here. The phone number here is 888-900-9966, 888-900-9966. You can join the conversation just like Matt and others. You wonder when you watch a deputy executed, pumping gas for doing what? For wearing his uniform? For being white? Was that his crime? Something for you to consider. Now, during the break, I took time to watch an old ABC News special I want to share with you a little bit. Because it has to do with, it's called Earth 2100. And what I did, I just went and posted it up on Facebook for you. So go to Steve Gruber, the Steve Gruber Show Facebook page. The Steve Gruber Show Facebook page. You can look it up. And it's from ABC News, Chris Cuomo, and others talking about what was going to be going on over the century. And it starts with 2015, an apocalypse created by climate change. And it's warning viewers about the dangers of climate change. It's the correspondent Bob Woodruff says the show puts participants in the future and asks them to report back about what it's like to live in the future world. And the first stop is year 2015, where it says milk will be $12 a gallon. Gasoline will be $9. In fact, that's if we even have gasoline left. Because we're going to run out of what they call the American way of life. You see, it's always about America. It's always about America using too much. That was the same claim in 1970. It's the same claim now. Global warming is not the result of the rest of the world. It's the result of Americans being greedy. And it always comes back to the same root cause. Americans are too small of a population, using too many natural resources, creating all of these problems. That's what they try to tell you. In fact, a Harvard professor in this video says we're going to see more floods, more droughts, more wildfires. Other voices are heard saying flames cover hundreds of square miles, intense hurricanes, droughts, a billion people starving to death. I want you to go watch this. That's why I put it up on the Steve Gruber Show Facebook page. Go look at this video. $9 for gasoline, it says. Gasoline will be about $2 a gallon or less come Christmas time. Milk, they say $12 a gallon. Nowhere near any of that. Chris Cuomo now at CNN. And then Woodruff, Bob Woodruff says, well, that's very soon, you know. But all you have to do is look at the world today. You know, you've got gas prices going up. You've got food prices going up. You've got extreme weather. The scientists have studied this for decades. They say if you connect the dots, you can actually see that we're approaching maybe even the perfect storm. Or you have to get shrinking resources. And all of this goes on and on. And all of this goes on and on and on. And they claim it's going to continue. But really, really it's just fear-mongering. Which is why I posted this video up for you to see on Facebook, the Steve Gruber Show Facebook page. Check it out. In fact, children are screaming in the streets as a result. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'll have that. The phone number here is 888-900-9966, 888-900-9966. Sometimes they sneak in. You can't do much about that. Sometimes they just sneak in and, well, you'll have that. But I want you to look at that because it's similar to all the other fear-mongering predictions. And it's always, like I said, the same, whether you go to 1970, 1980, 1990. And it's always the professors and the teachers claiming that it's America to blame. You know, so they're not opposed. They're opposed to America. That's the bottom line. And I say balderdash. The fact of the matter is this. Gas is $2 a gallon. Milk is cheap. Food is still in good shape. We produce more food than we ever have. More cars we sold in the world this year than in all history. One of the things that keeps saying that oil is going to run out. We're running out of oil. They have been saying we're running out of oil since 1970. For going on 50 years. They've been claiming we're running out of oil. Well, it just doesn't happen, you see, because Americans have created this renaissance of energy through fracking and other technology. And we will continue to do that. You know why? Because we're Americans. And the American way of life will continue. Go watch this video. You owe it to yourself to understand how the left works, the fear-mongering that they're involved with, and the lies that they continue to tell. And they call it news on ABC. It's embarrassing. It's 100% embarrassing. And for anybody to continue to buy it, well, read a little bit. Go back and read what was said in 1970 or in 2009 on ABC News. We fight poverty in America by feeding the world. We fight poverty by creating opportunity for people to raise the ship financially. The phone number here is 888-900-9966. Please go watch it and share it with whoever you can. It's the Steve Gruber Show Facebook page. You can also find out how to get our podcasts, listen live, and so much more. Make sure you like and tell your friends. We'll be right back.
Covering Michigan and the world from his bunker below the bridge. Here is Steve Gruber.
All right, welcome back to it. It's the Steve Gruber Show on a Monday. You know, it seems like every time I look up, our good friend and contributor here on the program, Kevin Jackson, the executive director of Black Sphere, is on the TV everywhere I look now. He's been a voice with us here on the program for, what, 3 years now? And how you get treated if you're a conservative and also from the African-American neighborhood. At any rate, taking a breath now and going to the lighter side of the world because, you know, you can't do heavy lifting all the time. You get worn out. Sometimes you just have to sit on the couch and eat bonbons and, well, watch TV. And that's what our next guest advises every day. Mike Hughes, welcome back to the program.
Hey, how you doing? And, you know, speaking of lighter side, you're saying, okay, everything is light now, okay? Tonight, okay, on The Whispers, we find out whether or not the world's going to end. Pretty soon we're going to find out whether those people ever get out of the dome on the dome. There's been an entire country overthrown in tyrant lately. Do you realize that even TV is getting very, very serious all of a sudden?
You need to find a comedy once in a while.
You need to. And what's ironic is the dramas have never been better, and the comedies have never been worse. So we kind of, when we want to watch good TV, we have to kind of watch dramas. And, boy, there's some heavy, heavy-duty ones right now.
Well, you know,
I guess I have a thought on that. Yeah, be glad we're worrying about fake stuff and not real stuff.
Well, right, I understand that. But, you know, the problem with comedy, and we've actually talked about this a lot lately, is that, like, college campuses, nobody can go book a college campus because they might offend somebody. Everybody's afraid of offending somebody, so the comedians have become, frankly, boring. What we need is Sam Kinison.
And here's a classic case. The show Fashion Police returns tonight, okay? They had one person quit. They suspended the show for a long time and so forth, all because someone looked at a lady who had the long hair, the Caribbean-style hair, you know, and she said, oh, it smells like weed, okay? Now, that was a, you know, you can say that's a good comment or a bad comment.
Like
you can say it was loose. Well, they got such a fallout from that that Kelly Osbourne quit the show. They suspended the show for 3 months. It's finally back tonight. And if you can't even make little tiny comments like that without somebody being offended, then it's pretty hard to make comedy.
Well, you know, if you're not smoking a little bit of weed before doing a show like that, you know, what's the point of doing the show?
Right. And incidentally, that's one of the reasons why I kind of like this show on Wednesday night called The Carmichael Show, a new young black comedian named Jared Carmichael, because it's at least a show about something. The first two episodes were last Wednesday. There's two more this Wednesday, and then the final two next week. It's on NBC, 9 o'clock, 9:30. But not big subjects. Last week was about black protests. That was fairly substantial. This week's first episode is about making his dad eat kale, okay? Kale ain't, like, too controversial, but at least the show is about something. I like comedy that's about something, and, of course, that's why we all like late night. You know, we're looking forward to Stephen Colbert coming. Several of the other late night shows. It's just because on late night they do actual talk about actual subjects.
You know, at least on, you know, on Saturday Night Live, at least they still offend people.
That's good to see. And the former Saturday Night Live people are just all over television right now. I mean, they have a couple of sitcoms. They populate a weird show on Thursday nights called Documentary Now, and plus their late night hosts. And both of NBC's late night hosts are former Saturday Night Live people. And we realize we like Saturday Night Live more than most shows because they're willing to get out there and take the risk doubly. They're doing it live, and they're occasionally talking about real things.
So now why do you think that these dramas are so much better than they used to be? I mean, I mean Dragnet was all fine and well and, you know, fun to watch, but it wasn't really anchored in much truth.
Yeah, there's a couple things about it. First of all, they're far more visual and exciting than they used to be because we have a new class of directors. These dramas right now look and feel like movies instead of dramas. That's one thing. But the other thing, we got to admit, the effect has simply been the effect of cable TV. Cable TV with nothing to lose took bigger chances. You know, when we look at an unusual show like Breaking Bad or Mad Men or anything like that, we realize it would have never been tried on regular television, regular network television. It was just too risky to try to get a big audience. But when cable's willing to go for a small audience, it did it and did it really well. And now you see the other effect. Now networks are copying cable, which is really interesting. And, you know, it's interesting. Networks finally, because of the cable competition, have summertime dramas. We never used to have summertime dramas. We had summer reruns. That's all we had.
Well, no, we never had, you know, things like Suits, I guess, comes to mind. There's something that's on in the
summertime.
Suits
is a good show that's still on the air right now on Thursdays, and it's a solid show. And there's several shows that are designed as summer only. Look at shows wrapping up now. The Whispers wraps up tonight. It's a pretty good, eerie show. Tyrant just had an overthrow in this fictional Middle Eastern country. It has its season finale on Tuesday. Mr. Robot on Thursday. CBS is near the end of three different dramas, The Dome finally coming down and so forth. These are all summer-only, big-time dramas. And that kind of thing used to be unheard of in the old days.
Give me one must-see this week, Mike.
Okay. I want you to watch the final weeks of The Last Comic Standing, just because, speaking of comedy, these comedians are good. They're stand-up comics. This week, they're down to their final 10. It's at 10 o'clock on Wednesday. They face off, choose a final five. Those final five will be in next week's finale. So at least 2 hours of good laughter this Wednesday, next Wednesday on NBC.
Mike Hughes, always a pleasure, my friend. Get the bonbons. Get back
okay.
to the couch.
Have a good time. We'll see you. Bye.
There you go, everybody. It's Mike Hughes here. And to say that there's no comedy out there isn't exactly accurate. For example, singer Ricky Martin, you know, your favorite. Sean, I'm looking at you. Singer Ricky Martin blasted Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump in an op-ed. You know, the fact that Ricky Martin would even be allowed to write an op-ed is humorous in and of itself. He said Jorge Ramos is a hero to everyone. Everyone. Define everyone. It's Monday on the Steve Cooper Show.
Taking a closer look at the stories that affect you most with a big dose of common sense.
It's Monday on the Steve Gerber Show. Thank you for your support. The phone number here, if you want to join the conversation, is 888-900-9966. That's 888-900-9966. You can also go to the Steve Gerber Show on Facebook or stevegerber.com to keep up with blogs and postings and musings. Plus, that really good piece I just put up from ABC News. Well, really good in showing how biased the left is. That 2009 piece from ABC News telling us that we would be out of oil and, you know, millions would be starving to death by 2015. That's right, this year. Well, that didn't happen. And in fact, as they predicted in that piece, gas would be $9 a gallon at least. Milk would be $12 a gallon at least. That didn't happen either. Gas is on its way down to $2 a gallon currently. Our next guest here to discuss some of these topics and how to fight poverty in a more sensible way as opposed to trying to scare the daylights out of everybody with nonsensical BS. Oren Kass here, senior fellow from the Manhattan Institute. Welcome to the program, Oren.
Hi, Steve. It's great to be back.
Great to have you back on the program. I think BS is a technical term that covers a lot of what I see from the left. It always comes back to the same thing. America's the problem. America's because we consume too much, we're too greedy, we create poverty, when actually the free market system creates more prosperity and lifts more people out of poverty than any single thing in history.
Well, I think that's exactly the right way to look at it. And you even see that if you talk about kind of the last 6 or 8 years with President Obama, you know, everything that he has said he's doing and he's pursuing in the name of working people and in the name of trying to fight things like poverty is not getting it done. If anything, it's making it worse because it only stands in the way of getting the economy growing and creating good jobs.
So, okay. Let's put aside the sky is falling nonsense. Let's talk about building a machine that continues to work because, again, we have more people come to our country, both legally and illegally, each year than every other nation in the world combined. Why? Economic possibilities. Primarily, I think that is it. You have the possibility of creating a better life for you and your family. That's why people come here, is it not?
I think that's exactly right. I mean, for all the problems that are created by illegal immigration, it's certainly it's an endorsement of what's working in America in some senses, that this is the country where people want to be.
Yeah, they want to be here because they have the opportunity to be successful. And so while people are coming here by the millions to create their new life and follow the American dream, those on the left denigrate the American dream, attack it for what it is, because I don't think they truly understand the fact that people that work for their own accomplishments and their own family are far more successful than those that work for a socialist program.
Well, and I think that gets to the heart of the question of you know, there are lots of people out there who are struggling, and so what do you want to do to help them? You know, the left's approach to say, well, we should help them with more government programs, and we should help them by just substituting, you know, food stamps and housing vouchers and Medicaid, even though, among other things, those programs aren't very good.
Now, one of the programs
saying,
that,
how do we help those people work?
Yeah, one of the programs that, you know, I didn't understand it very well until a few years ago when my accountant says, look at this. Here's a working mother of, she was about 40, making about $45,000 a year with two kids. And she got $9,000 more back from the government than she put in, called the Earned Income Tax Credit. And this is one of the things that is a cornerstone that you say needs to be replaced in a plan for you to help the working poor.
Well, that's right. And the, you know, I think of all the anti-poverty programs out there, the Earned Income Tax Credit is probably one of the better ones, because it doesn't say we'll pay you something if you're not working. It says we'll pay you something if you are working. And so the idea is that if you're working at a very low wage job, and at the end of the year your earnings are only, you know, around the poverty level, let's say $15,000 or $20,000, then instead of paying taxes at the end of the year, you're going to get a tax credit. And so what that means is it's almost as if you were getting paid more during the year. The problem with it, of course, is that, you know, getting this tax credit back a year after you did the work, first of all, doesn't really feel like you're getting paid for the work. It's not all that likely to kind of make it look like it was a good job to take. And especially if you're low income, getting a huge lump sum, almost windfall after the fact, isn't what your family finances need. What you need is more money in every paycheck. And so what I'm really interested in is saying, you know, instead of just waiting until a year later and then having this huge tax credit land in someone's bank account or in their mailbox, why don't we just say, look, if we want to make work pay, and we all believe that if somebody's working hard and trying to make ends meet, they should be earning enough money to make ends meet, then let's take that money we're spending anyway and spend it to top up somebody's wage. So if they're earning $8 an hour, let's add another $2 an hour in there. So they have to do the work, but they get more money in their paycheck.
And what about this this minimum wage push across the country, in Florida, California? I mean, it shows no signs of going away, although in California, you know, the unions say, hey, we're all for it, except we only want to pay our people $12. And you see, you know, other really hypocritical comments being made by those that allegedly support this idea.
Well, Brad, you know, the minimum wage is the other way to think about this, and the one that I think the left prefers, and it really reflects what's wrong with how the left approaches these issues, because what the minimum wage argument says is, gosh, you know, somebody's only earning $8 an hour. We think they should be earning $10 an hour or $12 an hour. Let's just make a law that says you have to pay them $10 an hour or $12 an hour. And that's not how the real world works. When you make that law, you're going to get fewer people hired. And by the way, somebody still has to pay that difference, right? It's not free money. And what the evidence suggests is that who really pays it is customers. So prices go up, fewer people have jobs, and it's a lot of those people you're trying to help who have to pay the higher prices. And so if you really want to help people who are earning low wages, I think the way to do it is to add additional money to their wages, not to go and create these mandates that tell someone else to go pay them extra money.
But how do you get there, Orrin? And we're on the line with Orrin Cass from the Manhattan Institute. I mean, let's be honest, the left doesn't want it, and the Republicans most days anymore have about as much spine as a jellyfish. So how do we get anywhere? A bunch of feckless politicians serving their own needs and working for re-election and ignoring the rest of us most of the time.
Well, I guess I'll disagree with you there a little bit, just that I think, you know, one of the nice things about this idea is that there is maybe some opportunity to make progress. And the reason I say that is because, you know, the Earned Income Tax Credit is actually something that's popular with both some Democrats and Republicans. So actually, President Obama has proposed increasing it, and Congressman Paul Ryan has also proposed increasing it. And of course, the difference is Congressman Ryan wants to find somewhere else to cut spending, and President Obama wants to pay for it by raising taxes. But I think if we take the basic idea that everybody wants to be able to get more money to the working poor, and we say, gosh, we already spend a lot of money on the working poor through programs like Medicaid and food stamps that just aren't very good programs, then I think there's some opportunity to get to get both sides to agree that we all want to get more money to the working poor, and we can find a better way to do it.
All right, Oren, thank you so much. Oren Cass, Manhattan Institute.
Keeping you in touch with Michigan and the world.
It's now 45 after the hour. And I encourage you to go watch this ABC News clip from 2009 that I posted on my Facebook page here just a bit ago on the Steve Gruber Show Facebook page. Because it declares that by 2015, right now, we'd be paying $9 a gallon for gasoline, that we'd be running out of oil. What is it with liberals? It's like this Pavlovian thing that they have to tell us, you know, twice a day, every day, that somehow we're at peak oil, we're going to run out, it's all going to come to an end. Although nothing could be further from the truth with the American energy renaissance. Our next guest, Dr. Joel Schultz, operates Street Smart Training and is a founder for the National Center for Police Advocacy. So we're shifting gears and talking about the safety of officers with what we were talking about in Texas here a bit earlier as well. Doctor, welcome to the program.
Hi, Steve. Good to be with you.
Good to have you. Listen, it just seems that there's this, I don't know what this whole attitude towards police has become. Police are the enemy. And I just don't know that we're teaching our children the right thing. Police are the enemy. Small crimes really don't matter. You know, petty crimes, unless it's something, we'll just let people get away with property crimes and so forth. What is this whole mentality in America is just baffling to me.
Yes, we're sliding away from what we've always called our, you know, our moral compass. We're kind of making up the rules as they go along.
And the people paying the price seem to be police officers. What do we have here? 12 officers have died in August. And the question then becomes, are they being targeted?
Well, it's been a bloody month, absolutely, for law enforcement. Percentage of officer deaths by ambush are up 21% this decade compared to the previous, or are 21% of officer murders this decade compared to 12% of officer murders in the previous decade. So there is a trend that's very disturbing.
And so how do we combat that? How do we turn this around from the notion that somehow, you know, and Baltimore is my best scenario here. Baltimore, where they're screaming racism, yet the majority of the police department is minority, where the commissioner was a minority, where, you know, the people in charge of Freddie Gray was a minority woman. And yet the narrative doesn't change. The facts don't change the narrative. It doesn't matter. The facts are irrelevant when pursuing this narrative, the police are the enemy and that they're racist. And how do we change that, Doctor?
Well, that started a long time ago before Michael Brown, but that was obviously the ignition point. And, of course, the Michael Brown shooting is, I don't understand why he's the poster child for police brutality, because that was absolutely justifiable. It's been proven in multiple investigations, multiple autopsies. But that aside, the irony is that we were in a downward trend. 2012, for example, was one of the lowest rates of officer murders historically, and was part of a trend. And crime has been down, been going down for over a decade. The 2013 violent crime rate was half of what it was in 1994. And yet in the middle of this, we see violent crime starting to creep back up, and officer deaths creeping back up, and it's hard not to put that at the feet of our country's leadership and how anti-police the institutions have become, not just the radical left and the anarchists, but folks that should know better.
Well, you know, and you're right, this narrative comes from the top down, doesn't it? And this narrative, you know, we had a caller here earlier say he may not be creating it, the president that is, but he sure seems like he's throwing sticks on the fire from time to time.
Well, if you look at what deaths get White House attention and what deaths get White House funeral attendance, it's not the police.
Well, that's true. So do you agree with that this president's throwing wood on the fire of racial discourse?
Well, yes, and I you know, I've done presidential security details, and you know, I'd take a bullet for Obama, but I don't understand why anybody would vote for him. His starting with the with him calling police behavior stupid from the case a couple of years ago in Massachusetts. He's just never backed off from that, and has made very few positive statements. You know, at least Eric Holder, and I'm no friend of Eric Holder's administration, but at least Eric Holder commented against violence on law enforcement officers. We've heard nothing from Obama or Attorney General Mensch.
So I guess, I mean, where do you start? Do you start with young people to try to get your message to young people? I mean, it used to be, you know, a police officer is our friend, you know, they come to the school, you know, and I think you get the idea. I mean, I learned this a long time ago. When you get pulled over for speeding, which I've had the opportunity to do a few times, you put your hands on the steering wheel, you roll down your window, and you wait for them. Your hands are in plain sight. Everybody's if you're fussing around inside the car, agitates the officer, makes them feel unsafe. As an example, you know, there's if you're going to be with a police officer and you are combative with the police officer, the result, I don't care if you're black or white, it doesn't matter. The result is not going to be positive. I mean, these are just simple things, aren't they?
Well, you know, the Washington Post recently had some writing about only 54 maybe officers have been prosecuted over the last several years for police shootings, and most of those, such as the officer in North Carolina, have either been found not guilty or acquitted. And, of course, people rail about that. But the reality is that the vast, vast, vast majority, I'm talking upper 90% of these shootings are completely legally and morally and procedurally justified. And that's
right.
A sad commentary on the state of violence in America, even though we know that it's actually gone down.
I'll give you that.
It's just a matter of media coverage.
Dr. Joel Schultz, thank you so much. We have to run, but good insight, good conversation.
Thank you.
Back in a moment on the Steve Gerber Show.